Three, two, one.
Caught him off guard that time.
Yeah, quick start.
Quick start. That's hard to do.
Got him with the quick count.
Yep. It's hard to catch.
The Joe Burrow of running the podcast machine over there, Parker Gabriel.
Yeah.
I'm Chris, Steve, Parker. It's Thursday, January 16th.
3:51
3:51 p.m.
Thursday going already. Wow.
Yeah, Thursday. How about this week? Yeah. Flying by.
I'm not doing
stuff's happening.
Well, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
Stuff's happened. We got coaching changes in football. Things are moving. Gears are turning. Basketball teams in the throes of the Big Ten.
Two and four, are they?
2-4. It's probably 3-3, but we'll talk about that later on.
What else we got to cover?
I don't know. A little junior day this weekend. An official visitor, 2020 official visitor.
What's Amy's team doing? What Williams? They just.
Oh, the, no, I thought you meant the other Amy.
Yeah, Amy Williams.
14-2, aren't they? Yeah. 14-3. They're pretty good. They got a big game at Maryland this weekend.
That up while we're talking.
Yeah. Look that up while we're talking.
Yeah.
It's public information.
Went out to Rutgers and lost a close game last week. Go back to Maryland this weekend for another tough game. They're in the middle of it too. But playing well.
13-3.
13-3.
3-2 in the league.
3-2 in the league.
Losses at Rutgers and
at Michigan State in overtime.
So
at Maryland tonight.
And Maryland tonight.
Well, Maryland tonight at Maryland.
Yeah.
What do they got this weekend?
They play Michigan at home on Sunday.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on the Michigan women's basketball?
Not much. I don't have a lot.
Okay.
I don't have a lot.
Well, should we talk about football instead then?
Sure.
You guys know a little more about that?
Probably.
We found out this morning, or it was made official this morning, that Mike Dawson is back coaching outside linebackers after a year with the Giants. Of course, Pat Shurmur and his staff were fired, which made Mike Dawson available for a spot that became available when Javon DeWitt left to head to North Carolina. So Mike Dawson's back. I asked Parker earlier today, do you think they'd made Mike Dawson take a picture in a new pullover, or they just use the one from last year?
It's a good question. I'd probably make him. I'd make him
just to take it again.
Just to piss him off a little bit. Yeah,
no,
take it again.
Just Mike. Do it. Just freshen
just
it
do
up.
Do it. Yeah, let's freshen you up.
Yeah, so, along with Dawson coming back, there's a couple of titles added. Ryan Held, now we do, thanks to Sipple's reporting, that he got a big raise from $300,000 to $400,000. That was in the Journal Star a while back. He also is officially now the recruiting coordinator in addition to the running backs coach. Greg Austin adds run game coordinator to his offensive line title. He stays at the same salary level, $500,000. Interesting with the title there, just in the sense of, like, I guess I sort of thought of him as that anyways. Obviously has a big role and is a guy that that Frost leans on extensively in that offensive room. And then they made the raise for Travis Fisher official too. Mike Dawson made $475,000 in his first go round with Nebraska. Only 325 for his first year here, but then it bumps up to $500,000 for year two. And he's actually signed for almost 2.5 years. He signed through April 30th of 2022.
Yeah, I don't think those I was listening on the radio, people play down those titles that Held God and Austin God. I don't play those down. With that, there's a degree of ownership and there's a little more pressure.
Yeah.
If the run game goes bad, if the run game's struggling now, you go to Austin.
Yeah.
He has the title. I mean, it's a good thing for a coach to have that, but it also means because you get more ownership, but you also, there's more responsibility now. It's not small at all to me. Like, when they put those tags on guys, some kind of people kind of, like, snicker at it. Like, recruiting coordinator, it's the same thing. There's an element of pressure that goes with it. And I think it's good. I think it's good to put that on guys.
Yeah, the funny thing, it's funny because I think a lot of people get all, like, worked up and they get into watching the coaching carousel spin and all that. And people, like you're saying, sometimes people jump to the politics of it. Oh, well, he got a raise and a title. Well, maybe he actually got more responsibility.
Yeah.
Ryan Held is going to have more responsibility in the recruiting department than he had before.
You're putting a title on him. That, to me, that should mean something.
Right. So it's interesting. That's four guys on the staff who are extended through at least the end of 2021. Held, Travis Fisher, Greg Austin, and Mike Dawson signed to a new deal. I think we'll find out in the coming weeks if more guys on the staff are extended. They did this last year when about this time, like late January, all 10 assistant, I guess it was 9 assistants because Tony Tuioti was hired and then they finalized, you know, these guys are on 2-year deals and they basically took everyone who had worked one of their 2 years and extended them out to 2. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if and when those get finalized, if they take everybody on staff back out to 2 years or if anybody's coaching on the last year of a 2-year deal. There's a lot happening and obviously, you know, there's still an analyst job posted on Nebraska's website that's open. Breaking news, it will probably be Baz.
Yeah.
But that was in the sarcasm font.
Yeah.
Analyst jobs open.
Yeah, and so there's been a lot of talk about guys who could be an offensive analyst, but one thing you astutely pointed out was that nobody on the coaching staff has a special teams tag along with their position. So they still need to work that out. And our reporting today in the Journal Star has been that an analyst type role is an avenue that Nebraska is exploring, basically.
For special teams.
But
interesting route to take, considering special teams essentially lost Nebraska 3 games.
Yeah, Scott's got to be careful with that optic, I think. I mean, I think just the look. I mean, so you struggled mightily on special teams. I think you were 114th in the ESPN efficiency rating. 67th last year, or you may have been worse than that this year. It might have been more like 120th. Anyway, it was bad. And now I'm just talking about what it looks like. It's not a great look if you don't have someone devoted to special teams on field. An analyst can't be on field. So it's going to be interesting to see the way it shakes out and the way Scott explains it.
Yeah, it will be interesting. One of the things I think, because special teams and all that, it doesn't get talked about a ton, is that most coaching staffs, and Nebraska was no different last year, they split up particular responsibilities in terms of special teams among the coaching staff. Like, it's not like Javon DeWitt handled every single element of all 4 special teams units. I think we've talked about this before, but I seem to remember Barrett Rood saying he had some responsibility in the punt shield or something like that.
Yeah,
he did do
the punt shield.
Yeah, so they all have pieces of it.
Yeah,
that'd be shield, you, yeah. Punt shield.
There's a punt shield.
Yeah, they all have pieces of it, but it's like I said, Parker, on the other part, if someone has the coordinator tag, there's ownership.
That's right.
And he's responsible. When there were special teams issues, what would happen on Tuesdays?
Javon DeWitt would get asked about it.
Yeah, there'd be a crowd of reporters around him asking him detailed questions about what happened. So that's good. I mean, I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
Now, if he don't have that, then who's answering it? Well, it's got to be Scott.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be the head coach.
And he'll love doing that.
But that's...
Considering he said last year, I don't really know much about kicking.
Scott. I don't think Scott would be the guy that would.
No, not overseeing.
He's
got to
be the coordinator. But, I mean, Bo Pelini in 2014, Nebraska led the country in special teams efficiency in 2014. And Bo Pelini was basically running special teams and defense. And that was back when they won 9 games.
Oh, there it is.
Just rolled out of bed and won 9 games, right?
He just showed up and won 9, baby.
Just like you should.
Yeah, just like you should every single year at Nebraska. Minimum 9. Old Bo. Bring him back. Let's bring old Bo back. And we'll start with 9 again.
This has just gone right off the rails.
It didn't need to do that.
No, I didn't. I went a little too far there. I had a little bit of a moment. I lost control of my faculty.
It was enjoyable, actually.
I think people wonder in general if
Nebraska will ever win 9 again.
Yeah, that. They don't wonder that in general.
If Bo went 9 with this roster.
very acutely. Yeah. They wonder that. I think in general, there's some there, you know, the a batch of coaching news comes out today.
Yes,
with Dawson getting hired and new titles, and the 10-man coaching staff is full, and special teams is the only question. And sometimes, so I think people wonder, like, is there more coming?
Yes.
And it's just,
what do you say to that?
Well,
at what time is it now?
It's 4:01. 4:01.
We've been going for 10 minutes.
4:01 on Thursday.
Thursday,
January 16th.
What do you say to that?
Well, that you never know. I mean, that's basically it, right? I mean, I think there's obviously something in the works on in an off-field capacity. And we reported earlier that, you know, Sean Snyder from Kansas State's a name that's in that conversation. But
for that would be an analyst,
right? An analyst type role. And he's
not one of the 10,
not one of the 10, but assistants. He's had some really good special teams units that he's overseen at Kansas State.
Yeah.
It's obviously Bill Snyder's son.
They led the country in 2017.
Yeah.
He was there. They had a really good run of special teams between 2014 and 2016.
They've always been pretty good special teams. Yeah. Even going back to when Bill Snyder was the coach.
Even when Sean was a punter there in the early 90s.
All-American punter.
All-American punter.
So that's something to watch. We'll see what happens there. But then, like, I mean, Baylor hired Dave Aranda as their head coach like 15 minutes ago. So there's all kinds of moving pieces. There's jobs coming open and being filled all over the country. And until the dust settles after the second signing day, and even then, I mean, there's never really, you never really know what, you know, what could or couldn't happen. But for the next few weeks, I think you just proceed with the, I guess we'll see.
Open mind.
Yeah.
An open mind.
And it's interesting.
Pretty open mind.
Yeah. You mentioned it, that it's the start of the recruiting period today, too. So you add that in, you got an early signing day. So it's a lot of intrigue.
Yeah, coaches are going out today. The contact period technically starts tomorrow.
Can you define that, please?
A contact period?
Yeah, what can happen?
Well, during a contact period, coaches can go to the homes of players in the current recruiting class, so 2020 kids.
To the homes?
To the homes. Right to the homes. Homes.
Right
to the home.
Right in the living room.
Right to my homes.
Right in the house. Take it to the house.
Okay, go to the homes. Can they evaluate basketball games?
Yeah, they can go to basketball games. They could go to wrestling matches. Okay. They can go. So an assistant can visit a prospective student athlete. Has to be a senior. Has to be a 2020 class player. Okay. Once a week.
Oh, not, you can't go 2021.
You can't go in the home with 2021 kids. But what's happening a lot now is so much of the 2020 class has already signed. Like, Nebraska only has two spots remaining. So they're hosting Chris Abrams-Drain, who's a wide receiver from Alabama, on an official visit this weekend. They've got some juniors coming for unofficial visits this weekend. But by and large, what Nebraska's coaching staff is doing is they're either checking on guys who have already signed, just to make sure the academics are all in order and all that, or they're going to the schools where they've got 2021 prospects that they're interested in.
Okay, so they can't meet with those prospects.
No, they can't go visit them, you know.
Can't go into the home.
Yeah, can't take it to the house.
Drive by the house.
Yeah.
Can't go in the house.
Yeah, you can drive by the house and wave as long as it's an accidental wave. But
we're in one of those big trucks that has like the video board on the back.
Yeah, exactly.
And drive by the house.
Or tell the kid, hey, go to Casey's.
Right.
Go to Casey's, I'll be there.
You can have, there's a, it's a,
recruiting 101 from
you can Stable. You can legally have a, you can, like, I think you can in passing see a player.
A ball.
You can run into him in the hallway at school, but you can't have meaningful conversation.
Oh, you know that. I know. Yeah. You know that people push the limit on that, on a bump.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably more of a full on embrace than a bump.
Like an Odell Beckham.
Yeah. Just smack him on the rear end.
Wow. All right.
$100 handshake. Why not?
So Beckham
making
was
it rain in that.
Beckham was
Louisiana
throwing out
State
the looked Rocky like more like $1,000 handshake.
It was
there
it's really
Odell.
Incredible to like see all that video.
Very, very strange time. I mean,
how'd you like to be covering that right now? LSU.
It'd be sort of fun, right?
Joe Brady leaves, Dave Aranda leaves, Odell Beckham's doing Odell Beckham stuff. He just won the national.
They're leaving for the White House today.
There'd be a lot of clicks.
A lot of clicks.
There's a lot of clicks.
You'd be working.
Yeah, as opposed to
whatever you've been doing.
Yeah.
not working. Any other football stuff? We got Junior Day this weekend.
Yeah.
You mentioned the official visitor, but Junior Day is also
this weekend. Yeah, Chris Abrams Drain is here, and or he's going to be here this weekend. Then he.
How many juniors are they having in here?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know exactly, but it'll be a bunch. There's a group of guys who have scholarship offers that are here. It includes Thomas Fedoni, who's a
tight end,
4-star tight end from Council Bluffs.
Fedoni.
There's a Derek Wilkins is a pass rusher from Southern California, who picked the coldest day of the year, one of the coldest days of the year so far, to take an unofficial visit to Nebraska in the middle of the winter. But he's coming here on his own dime in mid-January to see what's going on in Lincoln, so that's never a bad sign. Keegan Johnson from Bellevue West is scheduled to be in town. Junior Day's on Saturday. So there's a bunch of guys who are around, and then they've got another one next weekend.
Tour.
So that's next weekend will include the likes of Heinrich Harburg, the quarterback from Kearney Catholic, who does not have a scholarship offer at this point, but he's going to be here. Seth Malcolm, who's a athlete from Iowa, will be here. I think this weekend, Henry Latovsky, who's already committed, offensive lineman from Iowa, will be around. So they're just getting, by and large, you get a guy like Derek Wilkins, who's coming from a long way away. But these junior days, like in the middle of the winter, that are typically in the middle of high school semesters, typically you're going to have more regional type guys. And that's the way, for the most part, it's shaping up for Nebraska. But there'll be some guys from a little further away that filter through campus over the next couple weeks as well.
It's a pretty good football rundown.
That was a pretty good football rundown.
All right, basketball.
It's a tough act to follow.
No, you can do it.
Thank you.
Hey, you got this.
Covering basketball.
I am covering basketball. Huskers coming off the Ohio State loss on Tuesday. I believe that was. Yeah, Tuesday, 80-68. Fell behind 13.5. We're down by as many as 25. Could not make layups. It's because, and actually Doc Sadler had a really interesting stat on the radio last night. I didn't get into my story today, but he said he was pretty sure Nebraska leads the Big Ten in rim attempts, shot attempts at the rim, and they're last in the league in makes at the rim. Now think about
why
that.
Is that?
Yikes.
Because they're small.
Well, because they have the worst percentage at the rim.
Yeah, they're smallish.
They're small. You look at your big guys. It's a 17-year-old freshman and a 6'6" guy. You know, playing the post.
You can. I mean, there's answers to that question. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of it. The Big Ten, they have. I mean, there's teams that play good interior defense, including Ohio State.
Yeah.
And what happens is, you feel it at the rim.
Yeah, it's so physical.
So
yeah.
We say some of those shots maybe should be easy, but mentally they're not necessarily easy.
Well, that's the thing. You go in there and Caleb Wesson bumps into you one time and it gets a lot tougher.
Well, you think he's going to bump.
Or you think, yeah, then you think he's going to
rush it just a little bit.
Yeah. And you feel bad for Ivan Wadrogo because he had probably three or four just wide open looks early in that Ohio State game. Nebraska's up 4-0 and Ohio State's missing shots again and Nebraska can't extend the lead. You know, it could have been a deal where they could have been up 8-0, 10-0 out of the gate.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it's a different ballgame. And now Ohio State got hot and got going. But
yeah,
still,
Wesson hit three straight threes.
Yeah,
right.
The other Wesson, Andre. Yeah. And then that stretched Nebraska's defense out and then whatever. You have what you have. So, yeah, I thought that was really interesting. But that's part of playing in this league. It's going to be physical and it's hard. And Nebraska just doesn't have a team right now that has the type of guys that can finish at the rim on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because you see Fred Hoiberg's offensive mind at work as you see the looks they get, especially early in games. And think about – we talk about, well, Nebraska got to get off to a good start. Got to get off to a good start. Led Northwestern 7-0, lost the game. Led Ohio State 4-0, you know, played well at the start. Had the slow start against Indiana but came right back in the first few minutes. Started well against Iowa. You know, they're starting well. It's just that – other teams are settling in against him, and the physicality becomes an issue.
They get good shots, but Fred can't take the shots for him.
Yeah, at some point, the player's got to make shots.
That'd be nice if he could. Yeah. He's still
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, that point guard, Cam, yeah, it would be. Cam Mack does a good job, too. And what you notice about Cam Mack, he gets guys in good looks, and they miss.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
And think about that. He's averaging 6.5 assists a game.
Yeah.
He could probably get 9 or 10.
He could, and he doesn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
He doesn't turn the ball over.
A little bit. Yeah,
it's
but not
3-1 ratio.
Yeah, 3-1. Yeah. But, you know, still.
It's really good.
It's this. You see what it could be, you know, in a year or two when they have a little more size, when they have a little more athleticism, when they have a little more strength. Like the looks are there. The looks are there, but eventually you just got to start making some of them. They made a lot of them against Indiana a couple weeks ago. That's just coming to town Saturday.
6 p.m.?
6 p.m., I believe.
Does that feel like a BTN tip-off?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it must be.
It's public information.
It is public information. We can look that up.
I'll take a look.
You'd think the beat writer would know that off the top of his head.
BTN.
But, that's a game Nebraska, of course, lost 96.
You're really stepping out of the limb there, huh? BTN?
Yeah, give it to me.
It's a game, Nebraska lost 96-90 in overtime on the road. That's a 6 BTN. p.m.er. That's a 6 p.m.er.
The 6 p.m.er on BTN.
It was a shocking result at Indiana.
Yeah, because a lot of people. That's the game we found out Green was suspended a couple hours before tip-off. Nebraska had just had really struggled in the non-conference, had just lost to North Dakota at home. And all of a sudden, here they come out and they take Indiana to overtime. And you go, oh, wait a minute. They might have something here. I think that's just part of that. It's too, just the Big Ten, I think, is so wild this year. You look at what's happened. I think the record now is home teams are 36-6 at home this year. You know, something like that. And it's just so evenly packed. You've got Michigan State at the top at 5-1, but then there's 3 or 4 teams at 4-2. There's another 3 or 4 of them at 3-3. You know, Nebraska and Ohio State are tied in the league standings right now at 2-4. Think about what Ohio State's done this year. So yeah.
Nebraska can get this win.
They can get it's a game they can win. Yeah, it's a lot different outlook than it was before Big Ten play started. When you go, well, man, they're going to struggle a lot of nights out, and then all of a sudden they had a chance to be 3-2 in the Big Ten. They beat Northwestern, just got off to, you know, shot it so poorly in the first half. But yeah, it's interesting. Nebraska, I think, is going to be able to hang around a little better than I think people thought they could. Now there's going to be nights when it's bad, and we saw that against Ohio State when they got going, and all of a sudden, I think in one stretch, Ohio State made 23 of 32 shots.
Yeah, that's what you wrote.
Made 11 out of 13. Like, there's just going to be nights when it
23 of 32.
Yeah.
And it was a 25-point game, right?
Before. Yeah, it was a 25-point game with, like, 6 or 8 minutes left. And Nebraska got hot. Thor got hot. Made a few threes. And they cut it down, made it respectable at the end of the game. But, again, that goes back to the poor start. If they shoot it better in the first half, all of a sudden that game's a lot more interesting down the stretch. So, yeah, it's interesting because there's going to be nights when it looks really bad, and there's going to be nights when Nebraska beats a team they shouldn't, and we kind of see that.
Who's the second best team in the league?
Great question.
Michigan State is probably the best,
but they just lost by 30 at Purdue. Right. You know,
it's hard.
It's hard. I think you put Rutgers in that group.
Wow.
I think you do.
Wow.
I'm not saying they are, but look, they're unbeaten at home. They're 12-0 at home.
12-0 at home.
Beat Seton Hall by 20 at home. Just beat Maryland or beat Indiana last night.
Could Rutgers really be the second best team in the Big Ten?
Maybe. I don't know if they are. It's probably Ohio State. I would
2-4.
Yeah, and they're 2-4 in the league. You know, think about that.
You would think Maryland would be, but Maryland hasn't played well lately.
Maryland hasn't played well lately. They've been really bad on the road. If you just look at a talent level from a pure talent level standpoint, it's Maryland.
Yeah.
And Maryland might be the best team in the league from a talent standpoint with Jalen Smith and Anthony Callen. And some of the pieces around those guys. But it kind of reminds me of Nebraska a little bit last year. Now, when Nebraska hit that cold stretch in January, that's kind of Maryland right now. They can't score. And now the pressure's on to kind of get it going a little bit because this was supposed to be Mark Turgeon's best team at Maryland. You know, it sounds an awful lot like what we saw here last year.
Yeah.
And we all saw what the weight of that can do to it.
Yeah.
So, and in this conference too. And I can still remember Mark Turgeon coming in here after they beat Nebraska and held Nebraska like 48 points or whatever it was, and he said this league will expose every weakness, and if you're playing bad, you're probably going to get beat, and that's kind of Maryland right now.
Ugh.
You know, and that's a scary spot for Mark Turgeon, because his seat was probably a little warm already, as weird as that is to say, because of the talent he had coming back, you know, preseason number two team in the league, and now you look at him, and they're a team that's struggling a little bit.
After they lost in Wisconsin the other night, and after the game, he said it was a devastating loss.
Is that right?
Yeah. He said the whole second half, I thought we were going to win. And they didn't. They lost by 2.
Devastating?
Yeah. So 3 of the ranked teams, there's 5 teams ranked in the Big Ten right now. Michigan State, Maryland, Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois. 3 of those teams, Maryland's 3-3 in the league, Michigan's 2-3, and Ohio State's 2-4.
So Illinois could be the second best.
Illinois, 4-2. They really rebound the heck out of it. Kofi Coburn in the middle, 7-foot, 290. Your kind of player. Big horse in the middle.
Yep, need that.
Iota Somnu. Trent Frazier. They got guys.
Yeah, they do.
They got Georgie.
They might be the second best.
Yeah, Rashawn Ashvili. Yeah,
they're really good. They got a lot better defensively this year. They rebound the crap out of it. They went it. They went on the road at Wisconsin. You know, and Wisconsin's played really good basketball the last couple of weeks. So you could, well, and we just did. You can probably name five or six teams. You know, Iowa has just not been playing that bad. They lost to Nebraska here,
and they came back.
Then they came back and beat Maryland by 18 at home, and then they went on the road and beat Northwestern by double digits and really controlled that game a lot of the way. And probably have the best big man in the country out of, in a league with a lot of good big men. You got the dude that's averaging 22 and 10. So
they get that freshman guard back.
CJ Frederick played against Northwestern. Played 31 minutes. If he can stay healthy, that makes them a lot better because obviously they don't have Jordan Bohannon, and you need something to loosen up teams defensively.
Maryland 10-0 at home, 0-4 on the road. Same with Michigan. Michigan 8-1 at home, 0-4 on the road.
Yeah. Now I take for granted that Michigan State's the best team in the league. I guess.
It's like Bez said, they lost by 30 to Purdue the other night.
I watched it.
And it was funny because you watch that, and the guys on the broadcast said, it's like, well, you know, Purdue at home, these nights are going to happen in the Big Ten. And you're sitting there going, God, this is Michigan State. We're like, Michigan State's just going to lose by 30 some night?
Really weird.
They also beat Illinois by 20, beat Michigan by 18, beat Minnesota by 26 before losing to Purdue by 20.
I mean, they're the best team. If Cassius is going good, they're the best team in the league. But they ask a lot out of Cassius Winston.
Yeah, they do. He's fun to watch,
too. He is fun to watch.
I love the style. I love watching them play because they press the pace even on made baskets.
Yeah, they do.
They get the ball out of the hoop and they're on you.
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a fascinating year, I think. Probably the most fascinating year since I've been on the beat. This is my fourth season now. And it's just, you know, the league champ might have six losses, you know. It might go 14-6 just because it's so hard. It's so hard, especially on the road, as we've seen. The graphic last night was, I think, Big Ten home teams winning percentage is 850, 85%, and the second best home winning percentage is like 70%.
Yeah, I mean, I saw you put that in your story.
Yeah.
The other day you put that in your story, and it was astounding.
ACC home teams have a losing record
this year. Right.
You know, think about that. It's just so bizarre. Now we'll see if it continues. We're not even halfway through the conference schedule yet. So.
It's just a weird year in basketball, right? Like North Carolina's not any good.
They're trash. Yeah, they're not.
Are they trash?
Oh, they're horrible.
Just say they're trash.
They're trash. They might not even make the NIT, much less the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
They're bad. They're bad.
Duke lost to Clemson yesterday, day before yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, Duke lost to Clemson. Clemson beat North Carolina at home for the first time in 59 tries.
Roy. What's wrong with Roy?
Roy said, this is so great.
What's wrong with Roy?
There's like three people in the entire world that can say this. Roy said after they got killed by somebody, Georgia Tech or somebody, said, they should just fire me right now. And of course, well, yeah, you can say that, Roy. You're the only coach in the country that can say that besides Kay, probably.
North Carolina, 8-8 overall, 1-4 in the ACC.
Virginia, really struggling.
Yeah.
Really? The other night.
Right?
Yeah. Can't score, which... They don't score a lot anyway, but now they can't shoot.
11-5, 3-3.
They're in danger of missing the NCAA tournament. You know, Florida.
Weird.
There was a great stat. Florida State, like the last 4 or 5 years, is 55-3 at home. It's the second best record in the country behind Gonzaga. It was 57-2.
The Noles.
How about Leonard?
You should know it.
That's Leonard Hamilton.
Yeah, you should know.
You should know
it. How about
it?
Leonard Hamilton?
They're good. I've got them in my top 15.
Leonard Hamilton's like 70 years old.
Yeah, he's a dude.
They're good. 15-2, 5-1.
He's young, though. He's holding up.
Yeah, he's, well, got that Florida sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Living out there in the panhandle.
Got guys that go recruit for him and bring in like 7'3" guys.
Yeah,
golf coach. Athletic, long athletic dude.
Yeah, go play a bunch of defense. Anyway, we should probably get back to Nebraska.
One thing I want to throw in, the Remington Awards ceremony is Saturday night at the Rococo.
You going?
I am not.
It's a gala affair, isn't
it? Yeah, I'm not going to the gala.
A black tie gala?
Yeah, it is. Tyler Biotish.
Good work, you got it.
Yeah, Tyler Biotish is this year's recipient.
Wisconsin, sir.
Yeah, Wisconsin junior, leaving a year early. And he is, I believe he's the 20th winner of the award. I think this is the 20th annual Remington. So that's going on this weekend.
All right.
That's going on this weekend.
There's other stuff going on.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was at the Outland Banquet last night. Sort of interesting. Panay Sewell, the left tackle at Oregon, true sophomore, won the award. Someone told me, it's like the 65th year of the award or something like that. And there had never been a true sophomore to win it until Ed Oliver did a couple years ago.
And
now it's been 3 years in a row. It's been a sophomore that won two times, a true sophomore.
This year, Penny Pasta.
Penny Pasta,
Penny
yes.
Pasta,
Panay Sewell.
Panay Sewell, yes. Panay Sewell.
at Oregon, he'll be back next year because he's got another year he has to play before he goes to the NFL. He's a huge kid, 6'6", 315. Mario Cristobal was there.
Oh, Cristobal was there?
Yeah, and he talked.
I would have liked to tell him how good his team looked in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, there were several people that did.
I bet they did.
And he was telling a story about, so Penei Sewell was a really highly touted prospect, and then now they've got Noah Sewell coming in this year, who's a five-star linebacker, who's 6'2", 273. And he's going to play linebacker and running back.
Sure.
Because he can like, move. He's a big horse.
Nebraska's got, like, 10 dudes like that. So that's fine.
So, anyways, Cristobal told this hilarious story about...
Where are these boys from?
American Samoa originally, and then I think the family lives in California now. And so they were... Cristobal was telling the story about being at a camp, and he's like, you know, when you go to a camp and there's a guy like Penei there, all the coaches want to work with him. And he's like, he was just waiting his time. And he said all the guys were like patting him on the back and telling him how good he was. And he came over and he was like, he said, so I got him down in a stance and I was trying to get, I gave him all this like, you know, technique about how he's going to, you know, he's going to kick step and flash out and get to this outer hip and climb to the second level on a combo block and all this technical stuff. And he said, so I told it all to him. And he got down in a stance that his dad taught him. And he said he fired off and did it perfect the first time. He's like, I looked at him, and I just thought, this is no assembly required. So wow. He's already, wow. You know. And so he's a Outland Trophy winner, first-team All-American, and he's back in Eugene next year.
Yes.
They play Ohio State week two.
That'd be fun.
You got to find a quarterback, though.
Oh, they play Ohio State week two?
Yeah, week two.
Ohio State's early season schedule is kind of a bear.
That will be a bear game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They hit. Something happened at Oregon. I don't know.
Yeah, Cristobal
happened at Oregon. Man. He's a dude.
Yep. That is not a typical Pac-12 team.
Yeah, so they...
no offense to the Pac-12 being
significant
being
offense.
Being a bunch of softies.
Yeah, soft ass.
Don't hit.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Let's go. Let's go.
Not Oregon. Oh, no. Man. They
speaking of somebody who isn't a soft ass, I want to go back to basketball. Doc Sather last night on the radio was really honest talking about Thor Bjarnason and his emergence. Ben McLaughlin asked him, you know, so what have you thought of Thor this year? And Doc was very thoughtful and very honest. And Thor's shooting 48% from three-point land this year, first of all. Had 15-9 the other day against Ohio State. Had 17.
Shooting 48%.
If he had enough attempts to qualify, or if he had enough makes to qualify, he'd be fourth in the country in three-point shooting percentage. I think he's second in the Big Ten right now. And the guy made six total three-pointers his first 2 years on campus. So Doc talked about when this staff was hired, and they were sitting down evaluating the players that were left from the Tim Miles years. And he said Thor didn't have a lot of support. He said we'd have these meetings, and Fred Hoiberg finally said, guys, I believe in the guy, and we're bringing him back. We got to stop talking about it. Hoiberg loved him from the beginning. If we think back to the spring when all those guys left and there was rumors Thor might leave, Fred believed in Thor. And it's really worked out because he's turned into obviously a really good player. And, you know,
it's really important to that team.
Yeah, he might be their, outside of Cam Mack, he might be their most important player right now, you know.
Yeah, Cheatham or Mack or him.
Yeah, and you say Thor, what? It's Thor, why? Well, he understands how to play in Fred's system kind of innately. Like, it's the perfect system for him to play in. He's a veteran. He's really tough.
Confident,
smart. Actually, Fred had a great line. He called him, I think, bullheaded or hardheaded last night. He said, comes to practice every day, you know, works his tail off. He said he's all about the team. He said he has zero concerns about individual stuff. He said he can be difficult to coach, but he's hardheaded. But he does what you ask him to do or what you tell him to do. And he's put in the work clearly, and it's paid off. So, yeah, I thought that was just real interesting, a real honest moment from Doc talking about.
Yeah, that the other coaches.
Yeah, they were not high on Thor, but Fred was. And
wow, that's a really interesting. That's really transparent.
The thing that Doc said, too, that I thought was really interesting was that then he told Thor, he said, hey, look, the head coach believes in you. And if the head coach believes in you, you can do it.
Yeah.
And he said, I think that's a lot of the case with a lot of players. If the head coach believes that you can be good and that you're useful than you will be. Yeah. And if the head coach doesn't believe in you, then you're in trouble.
Yeah. So yeah, belief goes a long way.
And everything.
It's just really interesting. You feel good for Thor, for a guy that's been through some stuff here. In a few years.
He's pretty good. That's the thing. They have about three or four really good passers, and he's one of them. Max, obviously the best one, but he's not the only one. Thor can really pass.
Yeah, he's in the right spot defensively. He's going to get beat sometimes because he's maybe not the best athlete out there, but he's in the right spot.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to get beat badly.
No, he doesn't make mistakes. Like, he does what he's supposed to do.
I've always thought he's a good long rebounder.
He chases
stuff down.
Yeah, you love that.
Yeah, he chases stuff down.
I mean, think back to last year. He made the game-saving play against Iowa. He blocked a three-pointer from Jordan Bohannon because he saw it. Wagging the finger, running down the court, the ball still in midair. Like, it was just such a baller move from Thor. But that's what Thor gives you. You hear the phrase winning plays. That's what Thor does. He makes winning plays.
Yeah, he's gigantic for that team.
Yeah, it's a great story, and I thought Doc, you have to give credit to Doc for being really honest how that whole process played out, and now where Thor's at. So, yeah, it'll be fun to watch him continue to develop here over the next few weeks. So,
all right, that seems like a podcast.
I think so. We'll wrap it up. A little quick one here for this week.
Well, how quick was it? I mean, what was it?
36 minutes.
36 minutes.
Right on. That's right. So, where it should be.
Well, we'll probably have some more. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next week. And
there's always something.
There's always something. And we'll talk to you about it. We'll talk to you next time.